Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets just barely higher this morning. May corn futures up 1.25 at 4:32 1/4. May soybeans up 1.5 at 11:46 1/2. May Chicago wheat up 4.25 at 5:54. May Kansas City wheat unchanged at 5:87 1/2. May spring wheat up 4 at 6:42 1/4. Let's start off with this SAF story.
Brazilian ethanol is expected to fuel SAF production here in the U.S. Earlier this year in Georgia, LanzaJet launched the world's first facility that will produce SAF from ethanol. The plant is expected to use Brazilian sugarcane ethanol instead of American corn ethanol when commercial production finally begins. The reason for this is that many large Brazilian mills have received the necessary certifications to produce ethanol for SAF, while American plants have not. American corn ethanol is expected to be used for production once improvements are made to its carbon intensity score. U.S. ethanol producers are currently awaiting an updated GREET model, which will determine if ethanol will qualify for SAF tax credits.
I have a lot to say about this. I'll start slowly. Let's look at this graphic that Bloomberg had. So U.S. corn has much higher emissions based on this old model, which is, I believe this is CORSIA model data. And the CORSIA model is an offset and carbon reduction scheme that they developed in or was adopted in 2016. So this is kind of like the international standard. What we are waiting on here is we are waiting on updated guidance and rules regarding the GREET model and also 45Z, which is the tax credit included in the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to push all of this. The problem here is that the U.S. government is dragging its ass on this situation. So in the meantime, the Brazilian farmer is benefiting. I mean, think about this situation. We have in the United States, I believe, what is the largest SAF plant on the planet. Yet we are importing Brazilian sugar ethanol to fuel it, essentially. It's outright un-American. I mean, this is just plain, this is not what should be happening right now. Corn is the largest cash crop in the United States. We're in a situation where farmers aren't making money. There's too much corn out there. There's a potential demand base here, yet the government just can't get it together. They told us, in 2023 that GREET model guidance from the IRS, from the White House, from the Treasury Department, that it was imminent, that it was coming. And then they set a March 1st deadline and they missed that. And then a couple weeks ago, they're talking about, oh, maybe it's going to be out in 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe it could be any day. We just don't know. I'll tell you what, if I'm a corn farmer and I'm looking at this, I'm saying, you know what, the government's got to get its shit together. And I'm reaching out to whoever my contact is, whether it's my state senator or national corn growers or state association. And I'm telling them, hey, you got to do something to push on Treasury, to push on the White House, to push on USDA, whoever it is that can make this happen, because this is not the way that this should be going. We should be using for these plants, when they get up open, operational, this should be 100% U.S. corn ethanol. And it's not, because the government has just largely been involved in a huge amount of inaction. They just won't act on this. So we need to get it done. It needs to be done. I think you guys, maybe there's some sort of action you need to take. Maybe you need to make those phone calls. Maybe you need to write those emails. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take, but this would be very upsetting to me if I'm a corn grower, especially in this situation with down markets. It just ain't right.
So rain this morning moved over parts of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Indiana. Recent rainfall has impacted South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and parts of northern Illinois. There is some conflict in the weather models this morning. The Euro and GFS differ quite drastically. The GFS model is significantly wetter for Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana during the period beginning next Monday. The Euro is much drier by comparison. The government WPC map keeps Iowa rainfall in place, but leaves the Eastern Corn Belt a little bit drier.
There had been thoughts that planting in the Western Corn Belt would be fast and furious. And I think that as a result of these recent rains and some of these potential forthcoming rains, maybe that's not going to be the case. We know that a lot of areas of the Eastern Corn Belt are very, very wet. And the Western Corn Belt had been drought stricken, but now you've got rains coming in. This Euro model, this is just one run this morning where it says we're going to be drier in that like 5 to 10 day period where the GFS is a lot wetter. That could very easily shift back the other day. It's just one, or later today rather, it's just one model run. The government map keeps Iowa, southern Minnesota, southeast South Dakota pretty wet. So I don't know what the implications are. Let me know what you guys think. We did have a radar. Did I have a radar piece this morning? Yeah, we have a little bit of rain on the radar. If you guys have some totals or amounts, let me know what you're seeing in your neighborhood. I was told that the stuff that happened the last couple of days kind of underperformed in some areas, but I'm not totally sure about that.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. You will not find content like this anywhere else. Joe, can you tell me about the video you put together yesterday?
Pete Meyer was on yesterday. We did a mailbag video. We had a bunch of questions come in from subscribers for Pete in particular. $5 new crop corn, what are the odds? This is just one of the questions that came in. We had a bunch of biofuel stuff. We had some stuff that we talked about with GREET and 45Z and carbon offsets and all of that. If you're not listening to these videos that we do twice a month with Pete, you absolutely need to be. Pete is he's what I would call a professional analyst. Pete, in his previous job, worked with big hedge funds, pension funds. I mean, the big boys. He knows how they think, and he tells us kind of what he thinks about the markets, marketing, all that stuff. It's must watch stuff. If you're not watching it, you're missing out. I mean, it's all I got to say about it. If you want to see the premium stuff and you want to see that video in particular, go to standardgrain.com. You could sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything. I'll sign up this morning. I'll forward you a copy of this morning's email. I know you guys are busy. If you're busy, you can do this on your phone. It takes like a minute to sign up with your credit card, and all the information is sent to your phone. If you have your email on your phone or even just text message, it's just a one-click deal to play the videos. There's no login instructions. We make it super, super easy. So check that deal out this morning.
The U.S. dollar continues to grind higher. Yesterday, the dollar reached a five-month high against the euro. It also hit its highest level against the Japanese yen since 1990. The rise was attributed to hawkish comments by Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. According to Powell, recent inflation data has not provided the confidence needed to reduce rates. On Monday, it was reported that U.S. retail sales rose 0.7% last month, much higher than the projected 0.3% increase. The U.S. dollar is also benefiting from a safe haven bounce as a result of the rising tensions between Iran and Israel.
The dollar has rallied, and it's largely because of the shift in the interest rate narrative or idea. The dollar index that most people track is totally antiquated. It needs to be updated. The weightings don't really reflect our major trade partners anymore. This is like an old school deal. I mean, the euro is 58%, the yen's 14%, British pound's 12%, Canadian dollar's 9%, Swedish currency 4%, Swiss franc is 4%. This needs to be updated. In any case, I know that people look at the dollar, and when it rallies, they say, oh, it's bearish commodities. But then I look at this chart, and really since like your post-COVID timeframe, since early 2021, you could almost make the argument that they've like moved together essentially, which is not the way that this is supposed to work. Even in recent weeks, you've seen strength in commodities and simultaneous strength in the US dollar, which is very interesting. So could you see a repeat of 2022 when the dollar and commodities rally together? I suppose that's possible. If you're interested in corn and soybean prices and the currency impact there, you should really be watching the Brazilian currency. And the US dollar has been very strong versus the Brazilian currency over the last couple of weeks. Big spike high just this week, as a matter of fact. And I think that may be one of the reasons that the soybean market's been under pressure. We've been told, and I've told you guys, you know, US soybeans are overpriced compared to Brazil. This big rally in the dollar versus the Brazilian currency does not help matters at all. It makes things quite a bit worse. And this may be one of the reasons why the soybean market's, what, 18 cents from the lows that were posted in late February. Doesn't look very good.
Grain production in Ukraine and Russia is forecast to decline this year. Ukraine's grain harvest is expected to decline by 10% due to a reduction in planted acres. According to Ukraine's farm ministry, planted corn acres are anticipated to decline by 4.5%. Spring wheat acres are also forecast to drop. Soybean acres, however, are estimated to rise sharply by 22%. The uptick in soybean acres is due to soybeans being the only profitable crop last year. Russia's grain production is projected to decline by 9% this year.
The declining acreage is probably a guarantee, and maybe that's a war situation. Russia, I don't know. I've seen conflicting things. My friend Drew Lerner at World Weather tells me that Russia could have ridges of high pressure to contend with this summer. And, you know, I don't really feel very strongly about long-term weather forecasts in any way, shape, or form. It's a dice roll. But, you know, we'll see what happens. If we do start to see reduced production in the Black Sea, maybe that's something that could ultimately be a positive for the United States, for export prospects. We know that Ukraine's been selling cheap corn to China. Well, I guess China canceled some, but they had been cheaper than the United States for a while and probably still are. So maybe this is something that could be helpful. I don't know.
Interest rates may need to stay higher for longer. On Tuesday, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said that interest rates will likely need to stay higher for longer due to inflation remaining stubbornly high. It was just 2 weeks ago Powell said that the Fed's outlook hadn't changed despite hotter than expected inflation data. Inflation worries on Wall Street have caused stocks to decline in recent days. The market started the year expecting rates to be cut by 1.5% by year's end, but that expectation has now been lowered to less than 0.5%. The first cut was originally anticipated to begin in June, but has been pushed back all the way to September.
A lot of the banks, some of the banks, are, even though the interest rate market suggests that they're going to cut like modestly this year, some of the banks are working with a base case that there will be no cuts this year and that there will, in fact, be hikes next year. We talked about the Jamie Dimon prediction of 8%. We talked about UBS talking 6.5%. Yield on the 10-year treasury hit multi-month highs just yesterday up to like almost 4.7%. So the situation is changing in real time. And a lot of this has to do with just that one single CPI print that we saw, I believe, like a week ago, which changed a lot of things. Maybe that's just one data item that doesn't reflect the trend, but this is what we're thinking right now. There's a lot going on in the outside world. It doesn't look like the rates are going to come down anytime soon the way that we thought that they would. What did cattle do yesterday?
They continued higher on Tuesday for a second consecutive day, possibly establishing a bottom. Feeders were an average of 238 higher. Live cattle were an average of 159 higher. Box beef was mixed on Tuesday. Choice ended the day at 298.02. That was down 286. Select ended the day at 292.64. That was up 130.
Outside markets, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are higher. The S&P's up 23. The Dow's up 180. Bonds about flat. Crude oil is down 74 cents. And the May WTI to 84.62. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you Thursday.